Secrets don't stay buried for long, unless they're really deep. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
The Menendez brothers, once synonymous with Beverly Hills murder, are back in the spotlight, but this time, it's not for what they did in 1989, but what might happen now. A clemency request, a district attorney's career on the line, and an election set to shape the outcome. Everything is coming to a head for Eric and Lyle Menendez. Mark Garagos, a heavyweight in high-stakes legal battles, has now placed the brothers' fate directly into the hands of California Governor Gavin Newsom. As paperwork moves through confidential channels, Garagos is pressing for a fast-track release, hoping the brothers will be home by Thanksgiving. But the stakes go far beyond a family reunion. In the political arena, Los Angeles District Attorney George Gascon has stirred controversy by backing a resentencing effort just weeks before a tight election. Gascon, well known for his reformist agenda, insists that the brothers' youth at the time of the murders and evidence of lifelong abuse warrant a second look. "We're not letting them off," Gascon told reporters. "These were brutal murders, but we have to acknowledge that context matters, and that includes their age and the trauma they experienced." It's a precarious political gamble. On one hand, Gascon is championing a narrative of rehabilitation and restorative justice. On the other, he faces a skeptical public fed up with crime, and his opponent Nathan Hochman has capitalized on that frustration. Hochman, a former federal prosecutor, is leading in the polls by a staggering 30 points. If he wins on November 5, it could be game over for Gascon's plan to free the brothers, especially with the judge's decision in the Van Nuys courthouse. The Menendez brothers' supporters, including aging family members, are racing against time. They've endured three decades of emotional wounds, hoping that one day Eric and Lyle would walk free. Now, with relatives' health in decline, the clock is ticking. For many, this might be their last chance to reunite. The brothers' attorney has also thrown in a legal twist. He's pushing for a manslaughter charge, which could mean immediate release without parole hearings. It's a calculated strategy, but not without risk. Gascon's office isn't entirely on board, with some prosecutors voicing opposition to reducing the convictions. Behind closed doors, there's friction between factions who believe the brothers should remain behind bars and those who see them as victims of a flawed system. The case, after all, goes beyond two brothers and their parents. It touches on issues of abuse, mental health, and a justice system unwilling to see beyond the surface in the 90s. As if that weren't enough, Netflix's Monsters, The Lyle and Eric Menendez story has thrown gasoline on the fire. The show's popularity resurrected public interest in the case, challenging the once dominant narrative of greed and cold-blooded murder. Now, many are asking if the brothers were, in fact, victims of relentless sexual abuse by their father, Jose Menendez. Gascon hinted that the timing of this resurgence isn't accidental. "I met with the creators of the Netflix series 9 months ago," he admitted, "and they told me this would spark conversations about whether these guys should walk free. And here we are, on the verge of what could be one of the most dramatic reversals in California legal history." But Gascon's strategy isn't sitting well with everyone. Critics argue that reopening the case is a desperate Hail Mary to win votes. With Hochman hammering away at Gascon's soft-on-crime reputation, the DA's office is split between those willing to give the brothers a second chance and others wary of setting a dangerous precedent. The brothers' attorney, undeterred, is pulling out all the stops. On November 25, the brothers' legal team will appear before Judge Michael Jesitz, a former prosecutor known for his tough stance. The hearing could go several ways. The judge might dismiss the plea outright, order new sentencing for manslaughter, or move the process to the parole board, a bureaucratic labyrinth that could delay freedom by months, if not years. And even if they survive the legal maze, the brothers will need the governor's blessing. Under California law, the governor has the power to block parole if he believes the release poses an unreasonable risk to the public. Newsom's response has been cryptic at best, though his recent public comments suggest the Netflix series has influenced his thinking. The stakes couldn't be higher for everyone involved. If Jessic rules in favor of resentencing, the case moves to the parole board. But that's just one hurdle. With Gascon's re-election uncertain and the possibility of Hochman reversing any leniency, this legal drama is far from over. Meanwhile, Eric and Lyle Menendez, once young men haunted by the traumas of their past, have spent nearly 35 years behind bars. In prison, they've transformed their lives. Both earned college degrees, led meditation programs, and created inmate rehabilitation projects. Their records show only minor disciplinary actions across three decades, a testament, some say, to their reform and redemption. But redemption is a two-way street. There are those, including some prosecutors and members of the victims' families, who argue that no amount of reform can erase the premeditated murders of Jose and Kitty Menendez. The memory of that violent night in 1989 when the brothers unleashed a barrage of shotgun blasts in the family mansion still looms large. It's now a race against time. Will the Menendez brothers finally walk free after decades behind bars? Or will political tides and legal roadblocks keep them locked away? The answer lies in the hands of judges, parole boards, and one governor navigating a political minefield. There's something about the Menendez brothers' case that keeps pulling people back, isn't there? It's like a wound that never fully healed for both the public and the family. At first glance, this might look like just another story about two killers trying to game the system. But peel back a few layers, and things get murkier. What do you do when the lines between victim and perpetrator blur beyond recognition? That's the uncomfortable question here. On one hand, we're talking about two brothers who committed an unforgivable act. They planned and executed the murder of their parents in cold blood. That's not up for debate. But then, we have new evidence surfacing, evidence suggesting years of sexual abuse and psychological torment that these brothers endured. It challenges everything we thought we knew about this case. What if these murders weren't about greed, but about survival? And how do we reconcile that with the need for justice for their parents, Jose and Kitty Menendez? What fascinates me is the timing. This case has been dormant for years, yet here we are in the middle of a high-stakes political election, and suddenly everyone is revisiting it. Coincidence? Maybe. But it's hard to ignore the optics. District Attorney George Gascon is in the fight of his life to keep his seat, and this resentencing push feels like a calculated move, one that could either redeem him as a champion of justice reform or cost him his job. And then there's Netflix's Monsters series. Love it or hate it, you can't deny the power these shows have. They don't just entertain, they shape public opinion. This new narrative of Eric and Lyle as victims of abuse, it's taken hold and it's giving people pause. The brothers went from being seen as monsters to possibly being two broken kids who snapped under unbearable pressure. The shift is important, but it's also dangerous if it overshadows accountability. Let's not forget the families involved. I can't imagine what it's like for them, living with the loss of Jose and Kitty, while also grappling with the knowledge that their killers are their own flesh and blood. And now, with time running out for some of the older relatives, there's this push to reunite while they still can. It's a human story, tangled in legal knots and political agendas. But here's the real kicker. What happens if Gascon loses? If Nathan Hochman takes office and decides to pull the plug on the whole thing, we're back to square one. So much hinges on these next few weeks. Two brothers hoping for freedom, a district attorney fighting for his career, and a public trying to make sense of it all. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know this. Justice isn't always clean, and it sure as hell isn't simple. The Menendez case is proof of that. Whatever decision comes out of those hearings in November and December, it's going to leave people divided. And maybe that's the only outcome we can expect, because some stories just don't have happy endings.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.